everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. The topic for this program is, how should I pray? I was talking with someone recently and, you know, why don't we pray more? You know, there's all kinds of excuses. I feel too guilty to pray, or I'm too busy to pray, or I'm angry at God, or it doesn't work. But, you know, for me, the number one reason I don't pray? Laziness. It does take mental energy to pray, and I'd rather watch television. Laziness. So we need to get over the hurdle, and I'll tell you what I have hanging on the wall in my house. From Alfred Lord Tennyson, the poet, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." And I have this in my face to remind myself, the most important thing I can do as a Christian is to pray. So let's do this. For this program, let's ask the question, how should I pray? Is there a certain way I should be doing this? And before we begin into it, let's pray. Father, long ago the 12 disciples asked Jesus the question, Lord, teach us to pray. And we pray that right now for us. Lord, as we open the Bible, open our ears and our hearts, open my mouth. And Lord, would you teach us now how to pray? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How should I pray? Let me share a few thoughts. Number one, get a routine, a custom. It says in Luke 22, it was Jesus' custom to go to the Mount of Olives. Do you have a customary place you go to pray? For me, my custom is in the morning, I get up, I get on my knees, and I pray next to my bed. That's my custom. That's my routine. It helps me to pray. I never used to exercise, but about, 12 years ago, I've been exercising about 5 days a week for 12 years. I hate exercising, but I love the benefits. But do you know why I exercise? I finally got into a routine. I get up in the morning, I say my prayers, and then I exercise. And it's part of a routine. So here's my point to you. Get a prayer habit. Get a routine. Some of you are morning people. Some of you are evening people. For me, if I don't have my prayer time in the morning, it probably is not going to happen. So I have a routine that almost every morning I'm on my knees, I'm talking to the Lord. Get a routine. And if you're new at this, start out with 5 minutes in the morning and then increase it to 10 minutes. But get a routine. When I first came to Minneapolis many years ago, an old white-haired pastor said to me, Tom, you need 1 hour alone with the Lord every day or you'll burn out. And he said, in that hour, you can pray, you can read your Bible. Sometimes I journal, Dear Father in Heaven, and instead of Dear Diary, I write my thoughts to the Lord. Sometimes I get my guitar out and I sing to the Lord and I worship. But he was right. I don't put in a full hour every day, but a lot of days I do. But if you're new at this, start with 5 minutes in the morning, increase it to 10 or 5 at night, but get a routine in your life. Second thought on how to pray, get alone. It says in Luke chapter 5, great multitudes were gathering to hear Jesus and to be healed, but he himself would slip away to the wilderness and pray. Mark 1, early in the morning while it was still dark, he arose, went out to a lonely place, and he was praying. In other words, Jesus got alone. He got away from the crowd. And I heard a black Baptist preach recently, a tremendous sermon. He said, we got to turn off the world. We're too busy and noisy. You know, your cell phone and your internet and your... Let's turn off the world and get alone with God. Now you might say, but I'm a mom with 5 kids. How do I get alone? I don't know. But maybe you can go on a long walk. Or maybe when you're driving, turn off the radio and just have your drive time be the time you talk to the Lord. But try to get alone like Jesus did. A third way to pray, get a special place to pray. It says in Luke 22 that Gethsemane was one of Jesus' places that he went to pray. Mark 6 says it was a mountain. Luke 5 says it was the wilderness. My normal place to pray is my bedroom, But now and then, when I want to talk to the Lord, there's a hill I go to the top of, and I just sit up there and I pray. So just get your normal place, but now and then break the routine and get another place. Another thought on how to pray: a periodic prayer retreat. It says in Luke 6, Jesus spent all night in prayer. So sometimes it's good. There's this Catholic retreat center up, I'm not sure where it's at, called Pachamon Terrace, about 45 minutes from the Twin Cities. And you go there, you get a little cabin all by yourself in the woods, and you just pray for 24 hours or for 48 hours or for however long you want to stay. But I did that, and I came home so peaceful. A periodic prayer retreat. Jesus spent all night in prayer once. Next thought on how to pray: enjoy the gift of the Sabbath. God gave us a Sabbath as a gift. In other words, do you take one day a week when you don't work and you just enjoy God, enjoy your family, have prayer time, go to church? I mean, many years ago when I moved to Minneapolis, you could drive by Brookdale, Southdale, Rosedale, and the parking lots were empty. That was back in 1981. Now they're full on Sunday. And we've lost the Sabbath in America. And ever since we lost the Sabbath, we have more divorce, more nervous breakdowns, more ulcers, more broken families. And if we would get back to doing the Sabbath, so what I want to encourage you to do, maybe you work on Sunday and you can't have your Sabbath on Sunday. Anyway, the rhythm of the way God has built us, we need one day a week when we don't work, when we enjoy God, we enjoy our family, we worship with other believers, observe the Sabbath. Spend extra time praying on Sunday. Next way to pray: get on your knees. Jesus prayed on his knees, Luke 22. Paul prayed on his knees, Ephesians chapter 3. I was raised Lutheran, and we didn't pray on our knees. Dad was Catholic, and now and then I'd go to his Catholic church, and they prayed on their knees. They have kneelers in the Catholic church. But I never prayed on my knees growing up. I go to college, I get in a Bible study. Some of my friends, when it's time to pray, they get on their knees. And I thought, I'm going to try this. So, I mean, you don't have to kneel. You can sit on your chair or lay on your bed or whatever. But I love getting on my knees next to my bed, because there's something about getting on my knees that concentrates me on the Lord. And it humbles me before the Lord. So if you've never done it, try praying on your knees. It'll keep your concentration. Another way to pray on your face before God. When Jesus was stressed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died, it says he fell on his face. He prayed on his face before God. And sometimes I don't get on my knees. Sometimes I get on my face on the carpet and just, oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, etc. And you just pray on your face. Next way to pray: pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, people ask the question, well, can I pray directly to Jesus? Can I pray to the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes, because one God, three persons. So when you pray to the God the Father, you're praying to the Son and to the Holy Spirit too. And there are prayers in the New Testament directly to Jesus. Stephen is dying. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So you can pray directly to Jesus and to the Spirit, but the norm in the New Testament is you pray to God the Father and you close your prayer in Jesus' name. And people wonder, what does that mean when I say in Jesus' name? It means, Father, do this not because I deserve it, but because of the merits of Christ. Next thing to say about prayer: pray intimately. When you talk to God, talk to him like he's the most wonderful father you can imagine. That's the picture of God. He's the most wonderful father. You know, don't get too formal when you pray. I mean, I never pray like this: O thou most omniscient, omnipotent, O thou who art, who dost. You know, I just pray, Heavenly Father, you know. So don't get too formal, but don't get too informal either. I don't like it when people talk to God as, hey, big fella, hey, man upstairs, hey, guy in the sky. You don't talk to God like that. So when you pray, just be very intimate. Talk to him like he's your father. Next way to pray: when you pray, be brutally honest. Have you ever read the book of Psalms? A lot of it is David's prayer book, the song. David is brutally honest with God. God, why are you doing this? I mean, God knows what you're feeling anyway. You might as well talk to him about it. You know, I remember a young woman once who told me, She went home to her apartment one day and just all by herself yelled at God for a couple hours. I thought that was weird, but that's better than giving God the silent treatment because you're mad at something. So if you're mad at God about something, you might as well talk to him about it. He knows it anyway. Get brutally honest with God when you're praying. Next way to pray, periodically break the routine. I mean, if your prayer life is boring because you pray the exact same thing every day, and mine can get like that, you know what I do some days? God, you know what I normally pray for, the long list? Ditto. You know what it is. Please do it. And then you just pray whatever you want. And that's not sinful. It's okay to break the routine. In fact, I exercise, I run, and I lift weights. You know what you're supposed to do when you lift weights? You have a routine that you do, but periodically to get strong, you're supposed to break the routine and do totally different exercises because it'll work different muscles. So same with prayer. I mean, I think it's good to have a routine prayer and certain things you pray a lot for, but sometimes it's say, God, I break the routine. You know what I normally pray for. Please do it, and then just pray. Another way to pray, pray the promises. This is kind of a fun way to pray. This is a way to break the routine. You open up your Bible and you read a paragraph, a few verses. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of Bethsaida while he himself was sending the crowd away. Then you stop. Lord, help me send the crowd away. Lord, help me spend time with you and turn off the cell phone, turn off the TV, turn off the internet. God, help me just, you know, and then you read the next, and after bidding them farewell, he went to the mountain to pray. God, help me get alone. I just happened to open to this, by the way. And God, help me get alone to pray. And then evening, so you read a verse and you pray it into your life. You read a verse and you pray it into your life. It's kind of a fun way. It's called praying the scriptures. Another way to pray, pray constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul the Apostle writes, pray without ceasing. Now, in the morning is when I have my concentrated prayer time, but then on and off I'm praying all day long in my head to the Lord. I mean, I've shared this before, but I can tell you exactly what my prayers were until age 12. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray, Lord, our Father art in heaven, I'll be the name, God bless my mom, Rabbi Brock, Grandma Grabalowski, my Ruthann, Sharon, Mark, and I prayed the same prayer every night. Then about age 13, I got my Bible, I started reading my Bible, and I started praying to God on and off in my head all day long. If I sin in the morning, I don't wait till the evening to talk about it. I immediately say, God, forgive me. If something happens and I'm worried about it, I don't wait 5 hours. I say, God, help me with this, you know. So you just on and off, periodically pray all day long. Another way to pray, pray with others. The Bible talks about the importance of praying alone, but it's also important to pray with others. Let me share a story with you. This woman has died and she's gone to be with the Lord, but she was the organist at our church. Her name was Helen. And she was kind of an elderly woman. Her father was a Lutheran pastor. Her husband was a Lutheran pastor. Two of her sons were Lutheran pastors. Helen was very Lutheran. She played the organ at our church. And she was not into what's called the charismatic movement much. She was very reserved in her faith. And so the reason I believe this story is because it happened to Helen. Listen to this story. At the church I served, Hope Lutheran, every Saturday morning, the men would pray at the altar, and Helen would be upstairs in the choir loft softly playing the organ while we prayed. Then we'd all go downstairs for coffee and donuts, and Helen would join us. Well, one Saturday morning, I came out there to pray, 5 minutes early by myself, then the men all joined me. Then we went down for coffee, and Helen says, Tom, who was the man in the long white robe that knelt next to you when you came out by yourself? I said, Helen, there was nobody in a long white robe. Yeah, he had long hair. Is there some play tomorrow at church? Is there a rehearsal? I said, there's no play, Helen. No. Well, who was that man in the white robe? Finally, I said, I don't know, Helen. Maybe it was an angel. And she said, no, this was real. Well, you know what? About a week later, Helen comes to me and she says, I don't think it was an angel. I think it was the Lord, because she said his hair was long in the back. But you know what that taught me? I believe that story. You know, take that for what you will, but I believe it because it happened to Helen. And you know what that taught me? When does God show up at our church? When we pray. This men's prayer meeting had been going on for like 30 years. That's where Jesus shows up. So my hope is that you pray by yourself, but I also hope you're part of a church. But I hope you're part of a church that has a prayer meeting. So many churches don't even have a prayer meeting anymore. So get with other people and pray. Next way to pray. Pray for God's will. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22, he prayed, God, not my will, but yours be done. I think you can pray for whatever you want, but then end your prayer, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Jean Ingelou, French philosopher, said, I have lived to thank God he did not answer all my prayers. Mrs. Billy Graham said, I thank God that he did not answer all my prayers. If so, I would have married the wrong man 5 times. So pray what you will, but then always say, but God, your will be done. You know what's best for me. Another way to pray. Have faith as you pray. It says in James 1, if you lack wisdom, ask, but you got to ask in faith or you won't get it. So here's the way a prayer of doubt goes. God, I need wisdom about something. I don't know if you're up there, but if you are, I got a prayer request. And I don't know if you can handle this, but God, here it is. I want, you know, that's called the prayer of doubt. Here's the prayer of faith, James 1. God, I know you're up there. I have a big problem. It's big to me. It's tiny to you. And I know you can take care of it. So God, I'm just going to pray to you about it. I'm going to ask you to do your thing. That's the prayer of faith. I'm not telling you when to do your thing. I'm not telling you how to do your thing, but I'm going to hang on and trust that you're going to somehow do your thing. That's the prayer of faith. One more thought on how to pray. Allow room for God to do it His way. Way back in the 300s, there was a young man by the name of Augustine, became Saint Augustine, one of the great church fathers. Augustine was an unbeliever. His father was an unbeliever, but his mother, Monica, was a devout Christian, always praying for the soul of Augustine. Well, and they lived in northern Africa, Alexandria area, I believe. Monica heard that her young son wants to set sail for Italy. Actually, he was a young man by then. And she prayed, oh God, don't let Augustine go to Italy. Without my influence, he'll never become a Christian. Story goes that Augustine attended church with his mother. While his mother was in the church, he snuck out the back door, got on a ship, sailed for Italy, broke his mother's heart. When he got to Italy, he met Saint Ambrose, the great preacher of Italy, and sat under his preaching, and Monica, mother of Augustine, was able to be present at the Cathedral of Milan to see her son Augustine get baptized by the preacher. I just lost it. Anyway, Ambrose. Anyway, the point is, notice what God did here. God answered the prayer of, not the prayer of Monica's lips, don't let him go to Rome. He answered the prayer of her heart, save my son. You got to do that too. You pray your prayer, but then you say, God, do this when you want, how you want, the way you want. One last thought on how to pray. Winston Churchill was asked to give a graduation speech at the school he graduated from. Very famous speech, because he got up and he looked at the students and said, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never get up. And he sat down and they remembered that speech. That's what Jesus would say. This comes from Luke 18. Jesus told a parable to show at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. In other words, don't give up. But Pastor, and I've had men say this, I get such evil sexual thoughts when I'm trying to pray. Pray anyway. That's the devil trying to get you to stop praying. Oh, but Pastor, my mind wanders when I'm praying. Pray anyway. But I fall asleep when I go to, well, what better way to fall asleep than praying? But whatever it is trying to get you, just never give up. Never, never, never give up. And I'll tell you, here's a man who was in an explosion. He lost the nerve endings on his fingers. So he's blind, and now he has no nerve endings. And he knows how to read Braille, but now he can't because of his fingers. He bends down, and he he thought maybe he could read the Bible with his lips, but the damage had been done to his lips by the explosion. He bends down to kiss the Bible goodbye, and he touches it with his tongue, and he discovers he can read the Bible with his tongue. That's the point. You never give up, no matter what Satan throws at you, no matter how beat up you get. You pray until the day you die. Some of you are shut-ins, you're older people. That's all you can do. That's wonderful. Your ministry between now and your death is to pray for the church. Pray for America. Boy, do we need it. Pray for the missionaries. Pray. Jesus said, never give up. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture, his wisdom, and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Pastor Brock, can we go a little further on prayer here? You said that we should pray to the Father in Jesus' name. But I think it's in Matthew, doesn't it say there's no way to the Father except through the Son?
Yes.
Is that a contradiction to what you're saying?
You're talking John 14:6, where Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, period. All right, so Jesus really isn't talking about prayer per se there. He's talking about how are we saved? How do we get to heaven? How do we get to the presence of the Father? That's through Jesus. But you do have, again, Jackie, the norm is we pray to God the Father. But can you pray directly, Lord Jesus, do this? Lord, you know, that's what I grew up. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. So can you pray directly to Jesus? There's New Testament examples where people pray directly to Jesus.
Okay. Why does it seem like sometimes prayers are going unanswered? I mean, when you don't get that answer.
Yeah. I think the answer I like to that question is God answers every prayer. Sometimes his answer is no. And Jackie, sometimes we're praying for stuff, again, like we just preached. Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. I mean, I can remember praying for a girlfriend once that I kind of hoped would be it, and it didn't happen. I'm kind of glad it didn't. You know what I mean? Because God sees down the road and we don't. So sometimes his no is not him being mean. It's him being loving.
Okay. You said about getting a routine in that. Is prayer time supposed to be 100% prayer time, or is prayer time part of your devotion time? I mean, is there a difference?
I think, you know, that is individual and there's no right and wrong. I'll tell you what works for me. I pray on my knees next to my bed in the morning. Sometimes I'll sit in a chair and I'll pray, but then I always read the Bible in that time. So I pray, I read the Bible. Sometimes I sing to the Lord and I just sing a hymn or a worship song. Sometimes, Jackie, I used to do this a lot more and I should do it again. Instead of writing Dear Diary, you write, Dear Father in Heaven, and then you tell God what you're feeling, and then you sign it, Your Daughter Jackie, or Your Son Tom. And when I'm upset about something, that's called journaling. If I journal my feelings and thoughts to the Lord, by the end of that letter, I know exactly what's going on inside of me. God speaks to me what's going on inside of me. So journaling is a form of prayer.
Okay, and as long as we're talking about journaling, another thing that I found from a friend that's a tremendous thing is to write down your prayer requests, but to note what the answer is to those, because when you read those back,
it really
makes you believe in
Indeed.
The power of prayer.
Indeed, that's good. And Jackie, to piggyback on that, the best habit I think I've ever gotten into, it started about 10 years ago, I heard somebody say, before you go to bed, be thankful for 5 things that happened that day. And so I'll think tonight, before I go to bed, God, I thank you that the car ran well today. Thank you that this went well. Thank you for my health. Thanks for my salvation. Just think of 5 things every day.
Okay, Pastor Brock, can we go to the famous prayer, the Lord's Prayer? When we say, forgive us our trespasses or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors or our trespassers, is that placing a condition on salvation?
That if I don't forgive, he doesn't forgive? Well, I'm sorry, it's what it says. Not only that, it's more clear in another part of Scripture where Jesus says, he tells the parable of the man that the king forgives $1 million, and then that man won't forgive his friend $10, and so the king throws the guy in jail forever, basically. And Jesus ends the parable with, so will my heavenly Father do to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Elsewhere, Jesus says, and for if you do not forgive men their trespasses, my heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. Well, so the question I think you're asking is, well, are we saved by grace and faith in Christ, or are we saved by me having to forgive everybody? The answer is, we're saved by grace alone through faith in Christ alone, but grace always changes you. And if you're harboring hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, have you been saved by grace alone? I'm not saying this can't be a struggle. I struggle too, forgiving people, but I do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pastor Brock, we're supposed to pray, but I guess there's a group that we haven't talked about how we should be praying for them. How do we pray for the people who have not heard the gospel, that are unsaved, mm-hmm. because they've never had it brought to them?
Yeah, yeah. We pray. I have a time in my week where I pray for the lost all over the world. And it's just, and I pray for the missionaries. So, Jackie, I have a list of missionaries, the ones that Hope Lutheran supports and other missionaries. I pray for those missionaries. I pray for these people that are lost to get saved. But then we don't just pray. We got out our checkbook and we write a check to missions and we drop it in the plate at church and say, I want this to go to whatever missionary or whatever mission group you want. But prayer is great and it's hugely important. But if that's all you do as a Christian, you've missed the boat. We pray and then we write a check, or we go talk to that person about Christ, or we vote properly, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, we've only got a minute left, mm-hmm. and so I guess I'd like to thank the people that have kept this show going for the last 20-plus years, yeah. and that have prayed for us and have offered their financial support. We have tried to expand this ministry, and we continue to try to do it, and we would ask that you would continue to pray for what God has in store for this ministry and where we should be going and which direction we should go. Tom, what do you think we should be doing?
Well, you know what I want to encourage, Jackie? If some of you get this show because you have cable TV. So you have friends that you want to see our programs, but they can't because they don't have cable.
We have a website.
Yeah. What's that?
Our website.
Right. PastorStudy.org. Two S's. PastorStudy.org. We have tons of TV shows. If you have a computer, type in PastorStudy.org. You'll see tons of shows. Just push the button. You can watch our show whenever you want.
And we'd encourage you to pass that on to your friends, because that way they don't have to have cable TV in order to see our program. Thanks for being with us this week. We pray that God would be with you this week, granting you his richest blessings until we're together again next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.